news kept going from bad to worse. One thing kind of snowballed into the next, and all of a sudden, all of the disciples and all of the women find themselves at the foot of a cross, at a place where the one that they love and look up to is now nailed and looking down to them. It is not a happy story that we read on Good Friday. It is not a happy story that we remember this morning. It is a time of despair. It is a time of agony, and the day in between, the Sabbath day of rest, is not rest at all. It's like a weight. The full weight of the stone has been placed on the women. But early in the morning, as the sun is just starting to show its hope, the sky is just starting to lighten. After a sleepless night, they're up. A whole group of women gather, and they carry spices and cloths to go to the place where they know Jesus' body is. And as they arrive, the stone is already moved. And as they go in and are set to prepare a body for death, they find that it's empty. That everything that they know about life and death is now flipped on its end. Where have they taken him, but where could he be, and what does this mean? And if he is dead, then he should be here. Dead people don't get up and walk away. What is going on? And in the midst of all of those questions comes a bigger one, a more profound one. Because two men in dazzling clothes appear. And they say to the women, "Why are you looking for the living one among the dead?" The one that they had known for 3 years brought life everywhere he went. Life back to people who were hurting, who were blind, who were crippled, who were broken in their relationships. This one was living and brought life wherever he went. Why are you looking for the living one among the dead? Because that's where he should be. That's exactly where he should have been. Because that's what happens. We live and we die, and that's the end. But the resurrection switches everything on its head. That the order is now you live, you die, you live. And it scares us. It terrifies the women. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. That message scares them. But the message didn't end there. Because then the two men say, "Don't you remember? When Jesus was with you in Galilee, don't you remember he said that he would be betrayed and killed and rise again? Don't you remember?" And it's that moment that the light flips on for the women. It's that moment, not the empty tomb and the body being gone, but the moment when they are reminded that Christ was supposed to rise. It's so much easier to believe the bad news, to be sucked in by the bad news. I mean, we believe bad things with zero evidence, with zero proof. You hear a rumor, it's bad, and you believe it instantly, and you believe these things without any mercy. But the good stuff that comes along, oh, I'm not sure about that one. Let me think about that for a minute. Are you sure that's what you saw? Because as the women have this news, they run back to the disciples and they tell them, "We met these two men. They said that Christ is risen, and it's gone." And the disciples, our scripture says, thought it was an idle tale. Something these women made up, because no way could that kind of news be real. We tend to think that bad news is all there is, that the fear and the anger that we carry, or the worry and the doubt that we have, or the anger and the ways that people hurt each other that we see, that's the story. You live, you die. That's the story. But the resurrection gives us something different, because death is not the ultimate winner. Because cancer is not the final say in our lives. Because racism does not get to devalue the people that God loves. because sexism and trafficking and wars and fighting and fear and all the evil does not have the last word. Because we live, we die, and we live again. That is hard news to believe. And if you have those questions, if you have those doubts today, you're in good company. Because the women who saw it couldn't quite grasp it. And the disciples who saw it, Peter running to check and see, ended up going home amazed that he couldn't quite grasp it. That the whole beginning of this story is in the middle of doubt that God comes to speak life. You are not alone. But that's why this place exists, is so that we can gather and be reminded of the story. That we can gather and remind one another and be reminded that death and fear and anxiety is not the end of our story. And just like we can't overcome those things by ourselves, we need one another to remind each other. So that's why a church exists, is to stand up and say, don't you remember that the fear and the worry that you have, that the anxiety that you carry, that the anger that you have, that's not the end of your story. That God has redeemed that. That God is making you new. That God already has made you new and is still working on you. That all the ruts that you've been stuck in, God has already put you on a different path. And you may not see it yet, but God is the one who brings life to that darkness, brings life to that death. And maybe if we hear that story enough, maybe if we're reminded enough that God loves you and God forgives you and that everything that happened in your past does not have to dictate your future, maybe if you hear that enough, we might start to believe it. And maybe if we believe it, we can start to live it. May the peace of our God, which goes past anything we could ever understand, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the risen one. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand. We will join together in our song of the day, Crown Him with Many Crowns. This is number 855 in your red book.